Who knows? Our topic tonight is the Quran and the Moon, the Quran and the Moon, methodology for recitation of the Quran. And I'm writing the book at this time. I was in Mombasa in Kenya, and over there I finished most of the book. There's still a little bit left to finish it. And since I left Mombasa, no time to write. No time to write. I hope I'll be able to complete the book, inshallah, soon. The Quran and the Moon, methodology for recitation of the Quran. But the good news for you here in Bristol, although you are small in numbers, is that you just received a shipment of all my books. So we have all my books now in the back, including the ones that have been newly published. And nobody else has got it in Britain so far. Tonight, for the first time, you have it here in Bristol. We begin by directing attention to the names of the books which were sent down by Allah. He gave them names. One of them was known as the Torah. Another one was known as the Psalms, the Zabur. Another one was known as the Injil, the Gospel. But this one does not have a name. This last book does not have a name. This last book is called Quran, which is a recitation. I wonder why. Why this book is called a recitation? Why? And that was called Torah, that was called Injil, that was called Zabur, but this is called a recitation. Quran means a recitation. A book, therefore, to be recited. We read with our eyes, but we do not recite with our eyes. Reading and recitation are different from each other. We recite with our tongue, and this is a book to be recited. And the very first word that comes down in this book is recite, Iqra. So if that is not a message that is truly clear and plain as daylight, then we are blind. Our primary first obligation towards this book, therefore, is recitation, not study. Recitation is our first duty to the book. Studying comes after. Recitation comes first. And then they come to the very great surprise. If it is a recitation, well then, who is reciting? Whose recitation is it? And we begin now with Surah Al-Qiyamah. And this is what Allah says. وَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ Quran. It is the first person plural. Let me use the first person singular. And when I have recited this book, you must follow that way of recitation. Is everybody comfortable with this? So this is Allah's recitation. It is not just a Quran, a recitation. It is Allah's recitation. وَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ And when I have recited this book, فَاتَّبِعْ You must now follow that way of recitation. When did he recite it? When did he recite it? All through the year, the angel Jibreel alayhi salam will bring wahi, or revelation, and it will be given to the heart of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But not in Ramadan. No. Something else in Ramadan. In Ramadan, the angel will come down to recite. But it's not the angel reciting. It is Allah who is reciting, and he is using the angel. So when he says, when I have recited, he's referring to the angel coming down in Ramadan and reciting. This is what he meant by, when I have recited, and the angel will come down every night of Ramadan and recite the whole Quran. I may be wrong. I don't have the proof. I'm just suspecting that the angel was reciting the whole Quran in Ramadan, including that which had not as yet been revealed. I may be wrong. So the angel would recite the whole Quran in Ramadan and complete the whole Quran in 1 month. And so the first sunnah, and it is a divinely ordained sunnah, in reciting the Quran, is to complete the recitation in 1 month. What if you do not know how to recite? You've just taken the Shahada, you've not been a Muslim for 40, 50, 60, 70 years. No. You're just learning. Well, never mind. It may take you 3 months or 4 months, never mind. But you must finish the Quran. Don't stop when you start until you finish. But when you finish, you must start again. And when you finish, you must start again. And after you recited the Quran several times, and the words have become familiar to you, eventually, yes, you will be able to recite the whole Quran in 1 month. This is the divinely ordained sunnah, to recite the whole Quran from cover to cover in Ramadan. Can I ask a question? Do you mind? You won't be angry with me? Okay, Bristol, let me hear. If you recited the whole Quran in Ramadan, last Ramadan, put your hands up, let me see. Put your hands up, let me see. Oh, okay, that means you've got homework to do, Bristol. You've got homework to do. This is your first duty to the Quran. Your first duty. Okay, now can I ask another question? Are you teaching your children to recite the Quran? Put your hands up and listen. And there you are. This lecture, therefore, is even more important for you. Even more important for you. Now, before we proceed, how did the angel recite the Quran? So that we must follow that method of recitation. Let me take you to Akhiru Zaman. You know Akhiru Zaman, or the end time. It is that time when Dajjal will be at work, and he will be testing us. And his test and trial, or his fitna, is the greatest that mankind will experience all through history. One of the most important of all. It took me a long, long time to recognize how important this was. The Prophet prophesied, the time will move faster and faster. A whole year will pass like a month, a whole month like a whole week like a day like an hour, and a whole hour like the amount of time it takes to kindle the fire. Time will move faster and faster. Can I ask another question? You won't be angry with me. If you have the perception that time is moving faster and faster, put your hands up, let me see. Good, put your hands up. Is there anyone who does not perceive time moving faster? Put your hands up. MashaAllah. Anybody else? Only one? If you do not perceive time moving faster and faster, put your hands up. What do you want? You born in Britain?
Yes, by following instructions.
Oh.
Okay. I find it differently.
Okay. I also, my hand was up until I started reciting the Quran as it ought to be recited. And guess what happened? Time stopped moving faster. Time stopped moving faster. The reason why time is moving faster and faster is because Dajjal has corrupted our hearts. Even if you are a Sufi chef, if you perceive time moving faster and faster, Sheikh, your heart has been attacked. Your heart is no longer beating in harmony with the system of time that Allah has created. And that system of time operates all through the universe. That system of time has the moon at its heart. Because Allah says about the moon that He has given to it manazil. Manazil, stages of growth and stages of decline. لِتَعْلَمُوا عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ وَالْحِسَابِ. That you might use the moon to count the years, to measure time. And so the moon is at the heart of the system of time in Islam. And this is Dajjal's biggest problem. Biggest problem of all that Dajjal has is the system of time that Allah has ordained. Why? Why is this the biggest problem? Let me hear you. Let me hear you. I have a lot of time tonight. My hearing is declining. I didn't hear you. Okay, anybody else? Why is this so difficult for Dajjal? The system of time in which the moon is at the heart. Why?
I feel it could be because that the months move around the season or year in the lunar calendar.
Okay.
So you'll never be fixed in a, you know, like the solar calendar, Gregorian calendar. Things happen at the same time relevant to the season every year. So you was fixed in a calendar.
Yeah. He's pointing out to the fact that you need to use the sun for measuring time. You have the solar year in which you have the seasons. But when you use the moon for measuring time, you have a lunar year. And the lunar year does not coincide with the solar year. The lunar year is shorter than the solar year. Anybody else? Why is this system of time, which is based on the moon, so difficult for Dajjal? Why? Have you thought about it?
Because the Islamic calendar follow the moon.
Because you cannot follow the moon?
No, the Islamic calendar follows the moon.
The Islamic calendar follows the moon, not only Islamic calendar, the Hindu calendar, the Christian calendar, the Jewish calendar, except for those who follow monkey time, you know, monkey time. Yeah. Anybody else? Yes?
We follow the last time.
Why is it so difficult? The moon follows them?
The moon cannot be controlled by the jazz, so there is something in the hand of Allah.
I don't know something, the acoustics and this, I can't hear what you are saying. All right, never mind. I won't bother asking questions anymore. Dajjal means to rule the world. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Why? Because he wants to claim to be the Al-Masih, the Messiah. And the Messiah will rule the world from Jerusalem. So Dajjal has to rule the world from Jerusalem. How are you going to do that? In order for him to rule the world, he needs to get all of mankind in one global society, interconnected with each other. And so you have this monetary system of electronic money, everything interconnected with each other. You have one political system with the United Nations. You have one monetary system. You have one economic system. But he needs one universal system of time. One universal system of time. So that everything could operate like clockwork. You know, the trains operate in Switzerland. Like clockwork. Otherwise, your financial transactions all over the world at the press of a button will go haywire unless you have one universal system of time. Can you do that with a lunar calendar?
No,
I can't ask you any questions anymore because I can't hear your advice. No, you can't do that. What can you do with a system of time in which you have to wait until the 29th day of the month comes to an end, and only then would you know whether the month will end at the end of the 29th day or whether it will continue for one more day. The schoolboys cannot tolerate this nonsense. What a stupid system, you schoolboys. But we say praise be to Allah that He's given us a system of time that Dajjal cannot swallow. It is the most formidable obstacle in his way in bringing about a universal society, a global society. If only our people had remained faithful to the moon. But all of us have abandoned the moon in Allah, mashallah. If I ask what your age is, no one will give me his age. None will give me his age according to the moon. Allah, mashallah. Everybody will give me his age according to the sun. Even though Allah has said, I gave you the moon, لِتَعَلَمُوا عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ, that you might use the moon to count the years. So after this wake-up call, what is the price we pay when our heart is perceiving time moving faster and faster because the Dajjal has corrupted the heart? Answer? The heart is no longer in harmony with the system of time, so no no will have difficulty entering the heart. That's why we have so many sheep and cattle in the world today. They have eyes and yet cannot see. Not only no, but something else. Shifa. Shifa. We're living now on the tip of the iceberg. 5G is coming. And when 5G comes, you will see how many cases of dementia, how many cases of Alzheimer, how many cases of mental illnesses, how many cases of loss of memory, even among children. That's coming. And in order to protect yourself, you need Shifa. Shifa means healing. And this Quran heals. But the healing cannot come if your heart is not beating in harmony with the system of time in Allah's creation. And so how to bring the heart back so that your heart will be like His heart? He said, I don't perceive time moving faster. If He had not said it, I would have been the only one in the room. Now I have two of us in this room. If you recite the Quran as it ought to be recited, the next time I come to Bristol and I ask, put your hands up if you perceive time moving faster. No one will put their hands up. No one. So now let's begin. This is how important this subject is. No, we can't begin it yet. Surah Al-Isra. And Allah says, وَإِذَا كَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنِ. It's as though the ayah is there, but we never saw it. There in Surah Al-Isra. وَإِذَا كَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنِ. And when you recite the Quran, meaning when you recite the Quran as it ought to be recited, that way. جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ إِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا. When you recite the Quran as it ought to be recited, I will place between you and that godless world which does not believe in the hereafter. I will place a hijab. The hijab will separate you from them. And the hijab will be mastura, it will cover you and protect you. Not only that, your children, more important than you. So now let's begin with Allah's blessed name. If the angel recited the whole Quran in Ramadan, it then follows that the angel would have recited one portion every night. And when the angel recited, then the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would then have to recite. And the angel would listen. That one portion in the Arabic language is called a juz. Juz. In the Farsi language, which is used all over India and Pakistan, they call it sipara or para. And the Arabic word is juz. And the plural of juz is ajza. So if the angel recited one juz or one sipara or para? Sipara. Sipara. One juz or one sipara every night, then there will be 30. For the month. 30 for the month. So my question is, which was the first Jews recited? Which was the first Jews recited? Did the angel have the authority to divide the Quran? Well, then who has the authority to divide the Quran? Is it Tom, Dick, and Harry? Who has the authority to divide the Quran? Again, Surah Al-Isra, and listen to what Allah says. Quranan faraknahu. We have divided this Quran. لِتَقْرَأَهُ عَلَى النَّاسِ عَلَى مُنْثِلِ That you might recite this Quran to the people at intervals, for example, of one day. And so only Allah has the authority to divide the Quran, no one else but Him. Is that correct? I know the schoolboy is going to come. So let me explain to the schoolboy. When you are memorizing the Quran, you memorize them in small pieces, eh? That's not dividing the Quran, is it? So tell the schoolboy, don't worry about the one who's memorizing. We're talking about reciting the Quran. Only Allah has the authority to divide the Quran, no one else. And what does he say about those who do their own divisions? The division did not come from him, it came from them. Surah Al-Hijr. And this passage will shake you up. وَقُلْ Say to them, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم إِنِّي أَنَا النَّذِيرُ الْمُبِينُ Tell them that I am a warner and I have come to warn in a way, in a manner which is plain and clear as daylight, no ambiguity. كَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَى الْمُقْتَسِمِينَ What is the warning? Tell them, give them this warning. And this warning has come from me, it has come down to a people called the Muqtasimeen. Who are they? الَّذِينَ جَعَلُوا الْقُرْآنَ عِدِّي A people who divide the Qur'an as they choose. Who divide the Qur'an as they choose. Who break it up into bits and pieces, who cut it up, who chop it up. Chop up the Qur'an into bits and pieces. And what is the price they will pay for dividing the Qur'an when Allah has divided the Qur'an? فَوَرَبِّكَ Oh my gosh, how powerful. فَوَرَبِّكَ Tell them, O Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, by thy Rabb, لَنَسْأَلَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ That I will question every single one of them for what they have done to this Quran. This is the mother of all warnings. Be careful. Don't go about chopping the Quran and dividing it as you wish when Allah has already divided the Quran. So how has He divided the Quran? Answer. He divided the Quran into surahs, and a surah is a wall. Only He can build the walls. You are not allowed to build any more walls in the Quran. I think I've made the point by now, I don't have to keep on repeating and repeating and repeating. So if after I have spoken with simplicity and clarity and you still don't understand, you know what Malcolm would say? Malcolm would say, that's not my problem, that's yours. Malcolm would say, that's not my problem, that's yours. If I speak with simplicity and with clarity, and you still don't answer, understand, it's not my problem, it's yours. So now then, which is the first juz? apart from Surah Al-Fatiha, which has to be recited every time you recite the Quran. This is why Allah says, سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمُثَانِي وَالْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ. So every time you recite the Quran, you must recite Al-Fatiha. So now the first juz will be? That's right. It will be Surah Al-Baqarah. The whole of Surah Al-Baqarah. But why would Allah place the longest surah of all at the beginning? 286 verses. And all the long surahs are at the beginning. Al-Baqarah long, Ali Imran long, Al-Nisa long, Al-Ma'idah long, Al-A'raf, Al-Anam long, Al-A'raf long. And why has he placed at the end only short surah, some of them only three ayat? Let me hear you.
You have more energy at the start of the month.
Ah, yes, mashallah. When the moon is young, you start the Quran when you see the crescent moon. This is the beginning of the month. وَيَسَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّ. And they question thee about the Hilal. Hilal is the crescent moon. قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ. Tell them that that Hilal is there to measure time, for the system of time. And the most important function of all for the system of time is to determine the day of the Hajj. And this system of time delivers that knowledge. The most important one of all is not when to catch your aeroplane. That's not the most important one. The most important one of all is to perform the Hajj. And he has given us the crescent moon to measure time and also to perform the Hajj. So with the crescent moon we begin the month. And when the moon is young, and the month is young, Allah wants us to live with the moon. And so He wants us to be young. He wants us to marshal all our resources, all our strength, to make the best effort at the beginning of the month. In the process of living with the moon, your heart will return to the system of time in which the moon is centrally located. And so on the first day, you recite Surah Al-Baqarah. But that's not the only reason why. That is not the only reason why. The longest surah of all is at the beginning of the Quran. What's the other reason? I have someone to help me.
Because it opens up your mindset. Because it opens up your mindset. Okay. But the first two verses, you want to say that is, which means this group is, there is no any thing wrong with it. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Why is the longest surah of all at the beginning of the Quran? Why?
Is it because the surah is a summary of the whole Quran?
Okay.
Summary of the Quran.
Okay.
So the ayah that says that after difficulty comes ease,
okay,
can be said to be true as an example.
Right. Anybody else?
Because of Ayat al-Kursi?
Huh?
Because of Ayat al-Kursi.
Okay. No, I think you're guessing now. Anybody else? Okay. He has given us the longest surah of all at the beginning of the Quran to test you. To test you. To see whether you will respect the walls which he built or whether you will build your own walls. And guess what we did? Shall I tell you? Shall I tell you? Or are you already know? You already know it. I don't have to tell you. I don't know who did it. I don't know who did it. And you don't know who did it. A very mysterious person who did it. But what he did was manifestly sinful. He built two walls in Surah Al-Baqarah. Two! That Allah did not build. And Allah says, فَوَرَبِّكَ لَنَسْأَلَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. I'm going to question every single one of them for what they did to this Quran. At 141, ayah number 141 of Al-Baqarah, he built a wall. At ayah 252 of Al-Baqarah, he built another wall. This was a bricklayer who went to work in the Quran. At 91 of Surah Ali Imran, he built another wall. And this was sinful. This was manifestly sinful. And this did not come from Allah. Because Allah built different walls. And so now we've covered and covered, I hope, without any confusion in your minds, that we have strayed and strayed significantly from the way that Allah recited the Quran. And maybe that's why we're in the mess in which we are today, where everyone put their hands up. Yes, I do perceive time moving faster and faster. So on the first day, we recite Surah Al-Baqarah. Even if you do not understand what you are reciting, never mind. Never mind. Go ahead and recite it. And you can, in addition to the reciting the Quran, you also study the Quran. But while you're reciting that, you must not stop to go to some translation. Don't interrupt. Don't interrupt the translation, the recitation. Ah, yes, sometimes you will come to an ayah and you might want to repeat it twice, three times, never mind that. That is for those who are understanding what they are reciting. And then on the second day you recite Surah Ali Imran. And then on the third day Surah Nisa, and on the fourth day Surah Al-Ma'idah, and on the fifth day Surah Al-An'am, and on the sixth day, which just ended, Surah Al-A'raf. And tonight, in Bristol, MashaAllah, we are on the seventh night. And this is the first stop. This is the first stop when you're reciting the Quran. Manazil. The first stop is on the night of the seventh. Why? Why does Allah stop us at this point? Because he says, and he has repeated it six times in the Quran, six times, that he created the samawat and the earth in 6 days. So if we are to return to the system of time that Allah has got in, on the seventh night, our hearts must return. And he is watching the heart. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ. Allah is watching your heart. Does this heart on the seventh night, does this heart recall that Allah created the samawat and the earth in 6 days? Or is this heart in a state of ghafla? Other more important things to think about. This is the heart that will return to the system of time. On the seventh night, he stops us. It's a halt, and I'll explain to you how he stops us. And then, when he created everything in 6 days, in the Bible they say he rested on the seventh. He rested on the seventh. And in the Quran, Allah says that he was on the arsh, on the seventh. But this was so important a moment that in that law that he gave to those who came before us, the Ten Commandments, he gave them the law of the Sabbath. That on the Sabbath, you're not allowed to work. 6 days you can work, but on the seventh day you must stop working. You must rest and you must pray. He didn't give it to us. No. He gave us Yawmul Jum'ah. And on Yawmul Jum'ah, he gave us the Salatul Jum'ah. But he says, when you finish with the Salat, get back to work. So we don't have a Sabbath day. And I say to the Christians, and I say to the Jews, I'm jealous of you fellows. I am jealous that you have the law of the Sabbath and I don't have it. But Allah has given me other things to compensate. So how does he stop it? How does he arrest us on the seventh day? Answer, nothing happens in this Quran by accident. Nothing happens by accident. I wish Islamabad could learn that lesson. Yes. Nothing happens in this Quran by accident. On the seventh day, we have to recite Suratul Anfal. All the previous surahs were long surahs. But Al-Anfal is short. And the one that comes after Al-Anfal is long. So why is Al-Anfal short? Could it be by accident? No, tell the schoolboy, no. Nothing happens by accident. But not only is Al-Anfal short, but something else to arrest our attention. And that is that the surah which comes after Al-Anfal is the only surah of the Quran which does not begin with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Oh yes, we know that there are 114 surahs in the Quran. We know therefore that every surah begins with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, so therefore may there be 114. We know that in Surah Naml. It occurs twice because of the letter written by Sulaiman alayhi salam, which began with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yeah, we know that. But then, if one surah of the Quran is not to begin with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, why this one? Why this one? Why not another one? When these two are put together, there is a difficult word in English. When they are juxtaposed, put together, then we are arrested, our attention is arrested. And we say that the reason why Allah has made Al-Anfal short and no Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim in At-Tawbah is number one, because he wants us to combine these two surahs as our juz for the seventh day. And number two, because he wants to arrest our attention, that we should reflect over the fact that Allah created creation in 6 days and on the seventh he was on the arsh. And Allah knows better. If we are wrong, We invite our critics to correct us. And so on the eighth day, we now recite two surahs, Surah to Yunus and Surah to Hud. And on the ninth day, two, Surah to Yusuf and Surah to Ra'd. And on the tenth day, two, Surah to Ibrahim and Surah to Hijj. But now on the 11th day, he arrests us again. On the seventh day, because 1 week has ended. On the 11th day, because our Prophet said, we are an unlettered people. We don't know how to read and to write. And for us, the month is comprised of this, and this, and this. This is what he did. This is what he did. So 10, and 10, and 10, which means 1/3, and 2/3, and then the whole. All through the month this is important, all through the year this is important, but in 1 month of the year supremely important, namely Ramadan. Ramadan, yes, Ramadan. So when 10 days have ended, 1/3 is now finished. So on the 11th day we are arrested, so that we will reflect over the fact not only has 1 week ended, but now 1/3 of the month has ended. Nobody does that anymore. We only concern about January and February and March and April. And we have lost contact with the moon. And so on the 11th day, he gives us a long surah to Nahl. Surah to Nahl is a long surah for two reasons. He wants us to recite only one surah on the 11th day, Surah to Nahl, so that we mark 1/3 of the month has ended. But also because on the 12th day, he wants the two sisters to remain together. Who are the two sisters? Surah al-Isra and Surah al-Kahf. Surah al-Kahf is the surah, as they say in French, the surah par excellence of Akhiru Zaman. And you cannot study Surah al-Kahf without Surah al-Isra. Surah al-Isra is the key to Surah al-Kahf. Surah al-Kahf tests you, oh yes, to see whether you have insight. Insight is a lovely word in the English language, insight. People of Basar. Very difficult for someone of insight to be born. I don't know much Urdu, but I did memorize some of Iqbal. And Iqbal said, Hazaro saal nargis apni benuri pe roti hai. For thousands of years, this flower called Nargis has been weeping. There's no one to admire her. Correct translation? Bari mushkil se hota hai chaman mein deed aawar paida. It's so difficult in this garden for a deed aawar to be born. A deed aawar, a man of insight. A man like Khidr alayhi salam. So insight is what you need to study Surah Al-Kahf of the Quran. And the surah that will help you most of all is Surah Al-Isra. And so Allah wants to keep these two surahs together. So he gives us one surah on the 11th day, so that these two will be combined on the 12th day. So we had one stop on the 7th day, and we had one stop on the 11th day. And now we come to the third stop. On the 12th day we have Al-Isra and Al-Kahf, and on the 13th day we have Maryam and Taha, and on the 14th day we have Al-Anbiya and Al-Hajj, and on the 15th day we have Mu'minun and Surah Al-Nur. When the 14th day has come to an end. In Urdu, Chauvi Ka Chand. When the 14th day has come to an end and the 15th night commences, it's the full moon. It's the full moon. And there may be more in the Quran on the full moon. We know that when Nabi Muhammad ﷺ arrived in Medina, Besan tala al-Badru alayna, al-Badr, the full moon had come upon us. That's how they described him. But for us, the full moon is a time of maximum light. And therefore he gives us Surah An-Nur, the Surah of light. But the moon doesn't have any light of its own. The moon gets the light from the sun. And so we are forced to think. Allah sent down the Quran to a people who think. لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And that eminent scholar, Dr. Muhammad Iqbal, he said, and in my old age, I now agree with him. Yeah. He said, this Ummah stopped thinking 500 years ago. I agree with him now. Yeah, even with an Oxford education, we still cannot think. This Ummah stopped thinking 500 years ago. How come? Where does the moon get her light from? And how come the light is so graded and calibrated that it goes slowly, slowly, slowly from a crescent moon until it becomes a quarter? That's where it is tonight. Look up in the sky. And then it goes on becoming bigger and bigger and becomes a full moon. Who is the architect who designed it like this? And then having become a full moon again, it begins to decline as slowly as it grows. لِتَعْلَمُوا عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ وَالْحِسَابِ. So on the night of the full moon, we should be reflecting on Allah's creation. How come this moon became a full moon? So he gave a surah to Noor, which is a surah of light, on the 15th day. And that was our third stop. The 7th day, the 11th day, and then the 15th day. And as we stop on these points of time, the heart is beginning to be locked into the moon. Is that so difficult to understand? You are reciting the Quran this way so that your heart will be locked into a system of time in which the moon is centrally located. Is that so difficult to understand? The child doesn't want that to happen. He wants you to forget the moon. So you can enter into one system of time which can be universalized, globalized. Like the monetary system, like the political system, like the economy. One godless global order of sheep and goats. We're thinking people have no place to survive. They call it globalization. And then comes the 21st day. And the 21st day, remember, he did this, and then he did this. And then he did this, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So when the 21st day comes, the 21st night, it means that two have ended. Two-thirds have ended. And only one-third now remains. This is important for us as we measure the passage of time over one lunar month, that we have only one-third left in the month. But this is particularly important in the month of Ramadan. Why? Because in Ramadan, it is in this last one third that Allah sent down the Quran. And that night in which he sent down the Quran was so important a night for him that he makes it a night of celebration. Allah celebrates the revelation of the Quran. How does he celebrate the revelation of the Quran? He calls it the night of Qadr. And he celebrates, you won't believe this, he celebrates by sending down the angels. More than that, he also sends down Jibreel alayhi salam. And he sends them down for everything he requires them to do. You have been making dua. You are in debt. You want to get out of debt. Who is not in debt today? Maybe a student loan. Maybe a loan to buy a house. Maybe a loan to buy a Mercedes for the men's photo car. Whatever be. And then the debt kept on mounting and mounting and mounting. And you're now stuck in debt. And you want to get out of debt. And you're making dua. Your mother might be stricken with cancer, and this is your mother, and you're making dua, 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 dua. Or you might want a wife, you can't get a wife. Sheikh, can you help me get a wife? And you're making dua, I want a wife. Or you might be a mother, divorced with a little daughter. No one to maintain her because the father has disappeared. And you are now on the street looking for a job. You have to pay the rent for the house, you have to pay this, you have to pay that. And when a single woman is on the street looking for a job, the sharks bite even sharper. And so you're making dua, Allah, I ask you for a husband. And you're making this dua all through the year, but on the night when you should be making it, you're sleeping. The night of Qadr. The night when Allah is celebrating. This is the night you should be asking. He said, look for it on the odd nights of the last 10, the odd nights. But you, when the angel comes to give you what you've been asking for, the angel finds that you started Ramadan on the wrong day. Because instead of looking at the moon, you followed Saudi Arabia. So what? Go let ask Saudi Arabia to solve your problem for you. Don't ask me. Don't ask me to solve your problem. Go ask Saudi to solve your problem. This is the night for Allah to answer your dua and give you what you want asking for. But I have a secret to share with you. The Quran says it explains all things, right? Tibyanan li kulli shay'in. So although the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, look for it on the odd nights, I want to share with you my view. It is possible. Let me choose my words carefully now. It is possible from a careful study of the location of all the surahs of the Quran to locate which is the night of Laylatul Qadr. Full stop, I have nothing more to say. So on this 21st night, Allah gives us Suratul Fussilat to recite. And in this surah, He tells us what the angels can do when they come down. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Those who declare our Rabb is Allah, and then they affirm, like Malcolm, The Lord of God is my Lord, and I am remain firm with that regardless of the price I have to pay. Now that's the plan. I stand for the truth regardless of the price I have to pay. That's a man. Not the one who says, see, I can't do that. My business might collapse. They might put my name on a no-fly list. They might say I'm a terrorist. Those are schoolboys. But the one who stands up for the truth, regardless of the price I have to pay, now that's a man. And that was Malcolm. That's why I have so much love for him. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Allah says, تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. The angels come down on such people. Allah تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. That they have no cause for fear, they have no cause for grief. And it's unbelievable that this is in the Quran. Listen, the angels will come down to say, وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. We recite it, but it doesn't really stop. The angels come to give you the good news, you're going to Jannah. This would not be communicated to you in so many words. It will be communicated to your heart to give your heart some sakina. So this is what the 21st night is about. And this is why Allah arrests us one more time on the 21st night. It's an important night of the month. So we had the 7th, we had the 11th, we had the 15th, we had the 21st, and now there's one more. 23rd. Why the 23rd? Because there's 1 week left. There's 1 week left. And in that 1 week that is left, by divine design, there will be momentous change in the sky. The moon will go, and the stars will replace the moon. If only you could understand why. If only you could fathom the divine wisdom, why. The first reason, of course, is that the moon must go, and the dark night must come, so when the new moon is born, you could see a new moon. That's the easy reason. But there's another reason why. The stars take over from the moon at the end of the month. On the 23rd night, we recite Suratun. And guess what is the surah after that? Suratul Qamar. Suratul Najm, or the surah of the star, and then Suratul Qamar, or the surah of the Noor, and they are side by side to tell you that the stars will now replace the moon in the sky. The starlight will replace moonlight. But the deeper meaning is that when you recite the Quran this way, and you have been locked with the moon all through the month, every month, month after month after month after month, that this will now prepare you to study the Quran. Let me repeat it. I feel embarrassed that at my old age I now realize what I should have learned before. You cannot study the Quran as it ought to be studied unless you're reciting the Quran as it ought to be recited. What is the connection between the stars and studying the Quran? You may have been listening to me, so if you have been listening to me, don't answer, okay? If you would not be listening to me, let me hear you. What is the connection? Allah takes away the moon at the end of the month and replaces it with the stars.
Allah says you are good.
Not you, not you. You're telling me. Let's hear. Why?
Stars are suns. They generate their own light.
Stars are suns. They generate their own light.
They generate their own light. Okay.
Light, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. Anybody else? Why has Allah taken away the moon at the end of the month, the lunar month, and replaced the moon with the stars? Why? We give this Surah Al-Najm, followed by Surah Al-Qamar, to tell you that now the moon will disappear and the stars will replace the moon in the sky. And this is to prepare you for study of the Quran. How does it prepare you to study the Quran? Okay, if you'll be listening to me, tell me the answer.
Navigation. Yes. Navigation, connecting dots.
That's right. Did you listen? Surah Al-Waqia of the Quran. And listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about how to study the Quran. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ. And I take an oath, I swear, I take an oath by the positions in which the stars are located. وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ. And this is no ordinary oath, no ordinary qasam. This is a tremendously important oath. This is the mother of all oaths. وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ. إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٍ. Surely, this is a Qur'an which is kareem, which is noble. And if you devote yourself to the Qur'an, you will be raised to a position of nobility. And this is the Qur'an which is kareem, which is generous. It keeps on giving and giving and giving. فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونَ. And this Qur'an, this recitation, this divine recitation is located in a book which is protected. What's the connection? Answer. You cannot study the Qur'an except the way you study the stars. You cannot study the Qur'an except the way you study the stars. And so, at the end of the month, he takes the moon out of the sky and he replaces it with the stars to teach you that as you keep on reciting the Qur'an, reciting the Qur'an, reciting the Qur'an every month, one day eventually you will start to study the Qur'an. And when you study the Qur'an, you have to study the Qur'an the way you study the stars. You don't study the stars by beginning with Surah Al-Baqarah, and then Surah Ali Imran, and then Surah Al-Nisa. That's Washington's way. Because they don't know any other way at Temple University when they get the PhDs. You don't study the Qur'an that way at Temple University. You study the Qur'an the way you study the stars. Did you see how is this star connected with that star? And how is that star connected with this one and this one to form a pattern? And that is a work of insight, of basar. And it's not soul. in the supermarket. Allah gives his nur to whomsoever Allah wishes to give. And there's a shortage of nur, I could tell you that in Islamabad at this time. So this was the 23rd. The 23rd night. When the 29th day of the month has ended, if the moon is seen, you will have only a short amount to finish the Quran and this small surah. And if the 29th moon, the moon is not seen, and you have to recite the Quran one more day, it's just a little bit. So at the end of the month, when the moon is old, the month is old, and you're tired, Allah gives you short surahs. Make it easy for you to complete the Quran. If you recite the Quran this way, then I say to you, eventually you'll no longer have the perception of time moving faster and yet faster. I pray that Allah may bless all those who have come tonight and visitors to listen to me. I've been traveling for 6 months continuously now before coming to you here in Bristol. But I have some more lectures in London. If I could come to Bristol, you could come to London on the 9th at London University. There is a subject of the Quran, the methodology for study of the Quran, and we'll connect some of the stars on the 9th at London University. You go to my YouTube channel and you see the link for that lecture. On the 10th, I have to go to the Islamic Center of England, the Shia Center, there's a conference on Muslim unity, and I am one of the speakers. And on the 11th, I'm going to repeat this lecture if you want to come back again. It's Midtown, London. Go to my YouTube channel, you see. I'm going to repeat this lecture and then continue to methodology for study of the Quran. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا انك انت التواب الرحيم برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين امين. Any questions? You stay.
So this methodology which you actually explained to us very, very clearly, alhamdulillah for that. Is this methodology rooted in authentic tradition, or is it something that's actually relatively new?
What we have is something which is defective, something which is sinful. And I already pointed out that to you. I don't have to repeat it. You have a choice. If you want to remain with the existing system, then by all means continue with the existing system. But if you do that, you can take my word, your heart will continue to beat faster and faster. The test of the pudding is in the eating, even in Bristol. And the validity of the system of recitation, which I have explained, the validity is if you no longer perceive your heart moving faster and faster. So I don't need any mufti to give me a fatwa declaring this to be correct. No. Yeah.
You want to get more detail about end of time?
Oh, no, not for now. Where are you from? And your parents? Jamaica?
Sudan.
Or Sudan. Any Caribbean people here? No one from the Caribbean? I'm all alone? Oh, my.
Yeah, man, this is all taken away from Africa.
Who is
the Caribbean? The Caribbean.
Yeah, he has a Caribbean accent, yeah.
Yes.
Which island?
Which island?
Jamaica.
Okay. You can hear I have to in that accent. Any, yes?
For a little while, I've wondered about Yom Jummah. We make it on Friday every week. But if the months changing in the lunar calendar, how is that possible that can fall on a Friday every week.
No. The Sabbath day is Saturday, the day that comes after Friday, the Sabbath day. And they have the Sabbath day, we don't have it. They have the Sabbath day. Whether they're following the Sabbath day or not is a different matter. What we have is not the Sabbath day. What we have is at the end of 6 days, we are told in the Quran six times in the Quran, that Allah created the samawat and the earth in 6 days. So on the seventh day, regardless of what day of the week it is, on the seventh day, this heart must remember that Allah created the heavens and earth in 6 days. Yes, any more questions?
Just want to know your view about the theory of flat earth, Arz al-Mustalihah in Arabic. What is your view about that?
Right, we hold that for a little while. Any questions on today's lecture?
Do you know what people...
You ask a question already, a second question or first?
First,
go ahead.
Do you know when people start the month of Ramadan, they follow, for example, Pakistan or Saudi Arabia, is it, why don't they look out for their own window?
We have to look for the moon every month, not just Ramadan. Otherwise, forget it, you wasted your time coming here tonight. You have to recite the Quran once a month. So every month you will begin the Quran with the new moon. And which new moon you're going to begin with? Is it the new moon that they see in Timbuktu or in Buenos Aires? Huh? When will you think? It's the moon above your head. That's the moon. So if they want to follow a Saudi moon, tell them, go ahead. You belong to them, you don't belong to us. We want a different system of time. If people want to be jahil, let them be jahil. You should not be jahil, you should be people of knowledge. If you follow this system, then you will no longer perceive time moving faster. That's the proof. Only one man here in this gathering, only this one. He's the only one who is not perceiving time moving faster. Why? Because he's following the system of reciting the Quran. Now the Christian has to tell me, the Hindu has to tell me, the Jew has to tell me, the Buddhist has to tell me, what do you have to solve this problem? This is what I have. I have the Quran. Okay? Quran didn't come from me alone. If you choose not to accept the Quran, tell me what you have. Okay? Yes?
You say you recite the Quran. Do you think it is better to have knowledge before reciting? Because in Islamic country, sometimes they take advantage and they get money when they recite for people.
This has to start from age 7. From age 7 to age 10, the child is learning to recite the Quran, even to memorize the Quran. The child doesn't have any understanding of the Quran. The child is not studying the Quran at that age, no. By the time the child reaches the age of 10, the child should be reciting the whole Quran, okay? But don't force the child, let the child learn the Quran until eventually you get your child to recite the whole Quran. And of course, the best time is in the morning, the best time. The Prophet ﷺ would manage his time so well that he would never go to sleep until he finished his juz for the day. Never sleep without completing his juz for the day. Sometimes I can't do it. But this is not by design. This is by accident. Then the next day I have to do two instead of one. But he was a master of management of time. I want that mastery. So never mind, if you cannot finish it one day, you have to do it the next day. But the best way is to complete your juz every day. If you're not, even Arabs, I found reciting the Quran and they don't understand what they're reciting. Because they are Arabs, but they don't speak Arabic anymore. If Nabi Muhammad والسلام, were to return and they speak to him in Arabic, he wouldn't understand what they're saying. The Prophet would not understand what this Arab is saying because he's not speaking Arabic. He's speaking dialects of the Arabic language, more called slang language. Algerian Arabic and Moroccan Arabic and this Arabic and the other Arabic. But not the Arabic that the Prophet could understand. And the Quran is not slang language. So if you do not understand what you're reciting, of course, you have to make the effort to understand the reciting. But that comes after. Reciting the Quran comes first. Understanding the Quran comes second. Studying the Quran comes third. Any more questions?
What's the connection between fasting the 13, 14, and 15 and the moon?
The fasting of the called the Ayyamul Bid, the 13th, when the 13th day has ended, not the 13th day, the 13th day has ended, then you have the first night of white. When the 14th day has ended, when the 15th day has ended. These are the 3 days you fast, the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, but this is not connected with the recitation of the Quran. No. Okay, we attend to flat earth now. No more questions? Okay. The people who hold the view that the earth is flat do so because of their understanding of ayat of the Quran. It is their interpretation of the Quran. Okay? When we interpret the Quran, then only Allah can confirm that an interpretation is correct. I extended an invitation to those who believe that the earth is flat. I say to them, if the earth is flat, it could not be flat infinitely. It could not be infinitely flat. It has to end somewhere. It has to end somewhere. It cannot be infinitely flat. And if the earth is flat, it has to be flat where I'm standing. I don't have to go to the North Pole for it to be flat. If it's flat where I am standing, and if it's not infinitely flat, I said, would you join with me? Let's travel to the end of the earth where it's flat, where it ends. Please join with me, all those who are convinced that the earth is flat, please join with me. And let us travel from where we are standing. Let us travel to the end of the earth. If we keep on traveling in one direction and we return to where we started, what would be the implication? My teacher did it 5 times. He left Karachi, traveling west, and returned to Karachi from east, and he did it 5 times. So he was able to provide 5 proofs that there was no end to the earth. So the earth cannot be flat, but if you still believe it is flat, then please join me, let's travel to the end of the earth. Any more questions? If not?
Yeah. What's the relationship between Shaitan and the Dajjal?
What's the relationship between Shaitan and the Dajjal?
Is there?
Shaitan is Iblis. And the Shayateen are jinn who are kuffar and who follow Iblis. No jinn has been created evil. A jinn possesses a free will. This is my lecture on Saturday in London, Saturday. A jinn has a free will to choose to either reject or to worship. And a jinn has capacity for knowledge, to pursue knowledge independently. And so on judgment day, a jinn will be judged by Allah and go to Jannah or to Jahannam, but not the jinn. He's not a jinn, no. Nor is he a human being, although he will appear as a human being. Dajjal is not a human being, he will appear as a human being. Then what is he? Anybody? Huh? Don't be afraid. What does the Quran say about him? What does the Quran say? Be afraid. Huh? That's right, but I don't know why they're afraid. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّا سُلَيْمَانَ وَأَلْقَيْنَا عَلَى كُرْسِيهِ جَسَدًا ثُمَّ أَنَامَ قَالَ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَهَبْ لِي مُلْكًا لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِنْ بَعْدِي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. This is the lecture on Saturday. Don't ask me to deliver it tonight. Please don't ask me to deliver it tonight. Okay? Come to London on Saturday. The Quran, the Jal, the Quran, and the Jasad is a lecture on Saturday in London. Okay, thank you very much. My books are at the back. You can bring them up to me and I'll give you the autograph them for you. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين آمين. Okay. Thank you. Where were you born? Where were you born?
I was born in Iraq.
Oh, in Iraq. Okay.
Wahhabi.
You good? Okay.